Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here tonight. Good to be with you. It is Thursday night, and nice to be here. Glad you're here with us tonight, and we're going to be praying for you later. I'm praying over offerings tonight and a lot of other things, of course. So if you want to call into the show, 319-527-6027, and get in there and listen, or you can listen to it on your computer by going to blogtalkradio.com and look for live shows under Randy Chandler. Or, yeah, just try that. All right. All right. Tonight is giving night, so if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. We would love to receive your offering and to pray over it and to bless you. And glad that you're obeying the Lord and giving what belongs to God and giving whatever God wants you to give things. So we want to pray over those offerings, and there's just something about praying over offerings. I don't know what it is. It's really cool. We are not ashamed of the gospel, right? Yeah, the priesthood prays over offerings. We do. Bible ministry, we are, you don't even have to have an ordination to do that. Did you know that? If you've been ordained by God, that's all you need, brother. Sister, that's all you need. Now, it's nice to have it. I've got, I had a couple of them. But the last one I got was Christ for the Nation. It's pretty cool. Glad I got to connect with them. But that's not what it takes. If you can, you have a lot of people that are ordained and licensed to preach and be pastors or whatever, but you know what? A lot of them are not called at all. They just have a real zeal for the Lord, and thank God for that. But really called and really have the ability to feed the sheep as far as, you know, a shepherd has an anointing to feed the sheep in a way that nobody else does. And, of course, then you have prophet shepherds, you have evangelistic shepherds, you know, that are called, have a shepherd calling, and you know, teachers, all those kind of things. And so it's really, really cool about all that, but there is something different about the prophet. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I got some very unique information for you about that I just got recently, so I'm going to share that with you tonight about the prophet and what's really cool. About the prophet and what God has anointed him with and given to him. It's pretty cool. Of course, everybody, every ministry has its special giftings, and we all need all of them. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. All right? Okay, hang on a second. I'll be right back here. All right. All right, Amos 3:7 says, you know, look at this with me. Surely the sovereign Lord God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And that's not pastors or apostles. It's prophets, teachers or evangelists. It's prophets, and there's a reason for that. And you pay the price for that when you're a prophet. It's costly, but wonderfully costly. And the glory of the Father in that particular calling is truly amazing. And the fellowship of the Lord. And it's really, really cool. Even the rejections and everything you get, it ends up, even though it is difficult, you do sweat sometimes, you do cry sometimes, you do get angry sometimes, you get frustrated sometimes. But as you yield to God in that gifting, in that calling, it just works out for good. It brings you deeper where you can hear clearer from God. So it's really, really cool. It really, really, really is interesting how it works. And God designs a prophet. You know, I think everybody can have that to a certain degree, but prophets have a special, especially if you're in the forefront of things and you're fighting against, the non-profit prophets. Non-profit, you mean like, I mean like they're not really prophesying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're doing, you know, their own thing. You know, and any of us can do that. But there's something really cool when you catch a vein of the Lord. The Lord calls you to begin to be a prophet. I was talking with somebody today. I may wait a little bit. More people call in before I get going on this. I got a few people in here tonight. We're going to kind of give it a few minutes. I'm going to give it a few minutes, and then we're going to talk with this tonight. I have some very special information. I think it's really special and really cool that I got just recently about the prophet and the prophet mantle and all that that I've been learning about. Really, really cool. All right, so let's go somewhere else just for a moment, and then we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit about that. Let's give people a chance to get in. And let's go here, see where I want to go. I have some little nuggets I want you guys to listen to real quick. Something I just got tonight. I want you to watch this. Yeah, look at this. It's concerning the will of God. We've been talking about the will of God a lot lately, and I want to kind of touch on this for a minute before we start talking about the prophet. And the thing that we're going to open up to you tonight. It's really cool. It's about the will of God. Watch this. In 1 Peter 4:19, it says, them also who suffer, now watch this, who suffer according to the will of God and doing good. In other words, if you're messing up, you're a servant of God and you're messing up and you're getting persecuted because of that, or you're getting come against because of that, it's not really the will of God. Right? I mean, how many of us have done that? Well, I know I have. I've caused my own problems, no doubt about it, before. And so you start learning the difference that there's no reward with you stirring up something on your own. Now, this new prophets, new preachers, ministers, do men of God and Christians stir up stuff sometimes? Yeah, sometimes God will have you stirred up, and this is what I'm talking about here. Therefore, let all those who suffer, who stir things up, and suffer because of it, according to the will of God. Right. Look at that. According to the will of God. Therefore, let them also who suffer according to the will of God. So if God's got you stirring stuff up, and he's having you do it, then it's the will of God. And God blesses you for that. Let me look at this a little bit closer. I really love that scripture. That I saw that. I go, man, I got to share that with everybody. That is so awesome. Let's go here for a second. Now, you heard me say about Amos 3:7. Let's keep that up there. So I think I'll come back to that. One thing I love about the computer, you can go a lot of different places and never lose your place. Okay, let's go here for a second. I think you're going to like this stuff. It kind of helps you understand, you know, why people sometimes suffer a lot, but there's never any rewards much. I'd suffer for Jesus. You know, I stirred it up, but maybe you stirred it up on your own, you know, trying to help somebody. And, you know, God is like a little kid trying to help his daddy. He just keeps getting in the way, right? Kind of mow the yard, help you mow the yard or help you do something. And you just keep getting right in front of the lawnmower and trying to get on the lawnmower and helping daddy, you know. It's like, it's kind of like us trying to help God. Like we keep getting in the way, you know. And he thinks we're cute, no doubt about it. But at the same time, it's a little bit, we're not really as big as we think we are and really helping him out, you know, we're not really helping him out. We're just kind of like giving him some patience, to say the least. Anyway, here we go, the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, we're talking about born again. When a righteous person is born again, he's born again. See, we got to get this language thing straight. Saved is like you almost fell in front of a car and somebody grabbed you and saved you. Well, you didn't get born again because they saved you, but you got saved from a circumstance. You got saved from destruction. You got saved from being poverty stricken. You got saved from going down the tubes, you know, you get saved from losing your job because somebody saved you. But it doesn't mean that you get born. Okay, so if the righteous one is scarcely saved, you know, kept from, you know, hard times. And sometimes some Christians get destroyed in hard times. I mean, I'm talking about God-fearing, God-loving people who choose to, they compromise, and they keep compromising, and they just keep on compromising, and they don't get it right because they start thinking they're going to get, you know, like it's not really going to matter. And what they do is it builds up, and the Bible talks, the scripture talks about how the wrath of God or the judgment of God or the troubles that we put upon us build up. And they build up and build up. It's like judgment. Builds up and builds, wrath builds up and builds up. And then eventually, you know, the hammer falls. And we're going like, God, why did you do that to me? Well, God didn't do it to you. We do it to ourselves, right? So, because here's what he's talking about. Watch what he's talking about here. He's talking about judgment coming to the house of God. Well, if judgment comes to the house of God, you know, we've talked about this before. If everything you've done has been the will of God, then nothing's going to be burned up. But if you have done nothing in the will of God, everything's going to get burned up. The Bible says everything will be burned except for you. For the fire will burn everything, but it will not destroy you. It will save you. You will be saved, right? Well, you're already born again. You're not going to get born again. You're just going to be saved, right, from being burned up, protected from you yourself being burned up. Right, because you're born again. And so once we get this language right, we start understanding stuff, we'll start reading the Bible a little bit differently. But hear what it's saying here, friend. It's talking about, we're going to kind of go all over the place here a little bit. We'll talk to the prophet here in a second. If judgment begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, they were talking about the gospel, meaning, you know, getting saved. If the righteous one is scarcely saved, because he's talking about judgment coming to the house, right? Judgment, for the time has come for judgment to begin the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who don't obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved or kept back from, you know, he got in the righteous ones, you know, the born-again people, who are righteous in their spirit, you know, doing stupid stuff again and again and again, are scarcely, you know, kept back from temporal destruction, not eternal destruction, but temporal destruction. You know, they lose their money, they lose their family, they lose their life, they go to heaven. So if the righteous one is scarcely saved or protected or kept back, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let all those who suffer according to the will of God. Right? A lot of people don't suffer according to the will of God. And I've done plenty of my suffering that wasn't in the will of God. But if God has you do things and preach or share or talk or expose sin, you know, for the saving of that person, for the, you know, to save them from the destruction that will come to them if they don't get that sin right. Even as I'm talking about born-again people, that the thing that sin produces is death. You know, in other words, death can produce cancer in your body. It can produce mental illness. It can produce all kinds of things as a born-again believer, right? That's what sin does. And if you don't get it right with God, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, some horrible sin either. It can be just something you're hardening your heart against God. If he's telling you, you know, get free of that, stop doing that. And you go like, well, it's not that bad. And pretty soon, you know, we find ourselves waking up to disaster. You know, and being taken out before our time. Because if you're not going to be doing the will of God, the will of God is what protects you. That's why when you suffer in the will of God, you're doing all right. For that, all those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So, y'all kind of, I know you kind of see that there. Pretty plain to see. To me, it's the way I see it. And so, I believe the word of God is declaring it. And last night we were talking about understanding the Word of God and not adding to or taking away from. And that's what I think everybody probably has added to or taken away from, maybe not the basic salvation message of how to be born again. And many of them have done that too, have added to and taken away from that. A lot of people have actually. And so I have, we've all done it. And I think that God is going to take everything and make the code of the gospel, the word, the pure word, of the gospel is being restored and renewed, and God is opening up our eyes so that we can not be adding to or taking away from the Word of God or the gospel or anything. So because we do, it won't be the gospel anymore. It won't produce results for God. It just produced results for, you know, human beings may get somewhat better, but all it is self-righteous, because it's righteousness on the outside and not on the inside. Let therefore those who suffer according to the will of God. Are you suffering according to the will of God or not? Well, if you're not, hey, let's just fix it, right? You can fix it. What about that, this new covenant, man? You can fix it. You can change it. You can get it right with God. We're going to take communion tonight, too, so you might think about that. If you have some things you're not sure about that you're suffering, are you suffering according to the will of God, or are you spitting in the wind? which one is it? And if we can find out, it would be good news, right? Because then you can fix it. I'm a fixer. I'm a real fixer. I like to fix stuff. And so that's kind of what I do, is spend a lot of my time fixing things and letting the Lord show me how to fix stuff. All right? So fixing me mainly first. People are giving tonight. Thank you for that. We're going to keep talking here a little bit, keep sharing a little bit until we get through. And then we'll take communion and then pray over offerings and believe God for blessings. All right? Y'all ready for that? Okay. Hang on just a minute, I'll be right there. All right. Hang on a second here. Moving right along. Okay. All right. So we talked about that a little bit tonight. I thought that was a pretty good little nugget. I saw that. I'm going to save that for later, but I thought I'd share it tonight a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about the prophet thing just for a minute, and then we'll kind of move on. I was sharing with somebody today, and this kind of all came up. We're talking about can people listen to the prophet and depend on the prophet to hear from God instead of them hearing from God. In other words, do the sheep who can all hear from God, can they get dependent on a prophet to hear from God for them? Instead, they need to, learn to hear from God for themselves. Well, yeah, exactly. But here's the thing about what a prophet does. I kind of explained it. To this friend, and so what I shared was that prophets really do what their job is, kind of fixes it, kind of have to be understood. I wrote prophets get the first word. Amos 3, that's where I started out tonight. That prophets get the first word, right? They get the word. Surely the sovereign Lord does. Amos 3:7. God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The New King James says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his prophets, servants, the prophets. All right. Okay. Here's another one. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. There's another one too somewhere. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything unless he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. That's pretty good. As far as explaining what prophets get and what prophets do. So when I was explaining to one of my friends today that I said, the prophets get the first word. So not everybody can get the first word. Not everyone gets the first word. Only the prophets get the first word. So when you understand that the prophets get the first word, then you know, unless you are a prophet or a seasoned prophet, you're not going to be getting that word anyway. So it doesn't matter whether you're if you quit listening to the prophet, it doesn't mean that you're going to get those first words. Now you may learn to hear from God a little better on some things yourself and all that, but the main thing is that when you understand that the prophet gets the first word, in other words, he gets words that nobody else gets. Whatever God's going to do, he reveals it to the prophets first. And when he does that, you know, nobody else gets that word except the prophet. So when you listen to a prophet, you can't, it's hard to say, you know, am I listening to the prophet too much that I'm depending on the prophet? Well, you're never going to get the first word in the first place. And unless you are a prophet, a real prophet, a prophet called of God, not a prophesier. Pastors are not prophets. So prophets aren't going to get the first word. I mean, pastors are not going to get the first word. The prophets get the first word. And that's one of the things. It's one of the blessings of being a prophet, and yet it's one of the things that causes you a lot of problems at the same time. It's like when the Jews were chosen by God, they go, oh, boy, we've been chosen by God. We're God's only children. But at the same time, they suffered much persecution over it. You know what I mean? So, and here's the thing, is that here's the other part of it I want to get to about the prophet and how that you're never going to, if you listen to a prophet, you're never going to get, unless you are a prophet on that prophet's level, you're never going to get the word that prophet gets, no matter who you are. You know, it's not taken away from you hearing from God on your own at all. It's there's some things that prophets get that nobody else gets. So you know, unless you're a prophet, you're not going to be getting that information. So, but as far as learning how to hear from the Lord, so here's the other part. Of course, my sheep know my voice, and another not going to follow. But I want you to watch this. The Lord showed me this. He said that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, the scripture says that his thoughts, God's thoughts, are higher than our thoughts. All right, and that's what prophets are for. Because the higher word, prophets get this first word or the higher word. The first word is the highest one, if you will. It's the top. It's the top of the word. It's the highest. And what prophets do is they reveal the highest word or the first word highest, like when you win. You got the highest reward. You won first. You know, when the prophets get a first word, it's the highest, and only prophets get that. And so when you get, higher thoughts. So what happens is prophets prophesy to people thoughts that are higher than they're going to get without being a prophet. So they prophesy to you, the prophets prophesy to people the higher word or the higher thoughts, or the words that people have a problem receiving because it's so high for them. And the reason that prophets are doing that, now there's prophesiers, people can prophesy. It's not the same thing. Prophesying is not the higher realm. It's not the higher thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Right? Prophets get the higher thought, and they prophesy to the people the higher thought, the thought that they will never get. It's too high for them. They're going like, You like Joseph got that word. He's going like, man, I'm going to do what now? You know that was a prophet type thing. It was a dream, but when dreams are interpreted, it's like prophecy. It's like a prophet. God was speaking to him the first word. He's the first one who got it, and he was the only one who got it actually. And so so in that sense, you know, Joseph was really a prophet. You know, God spoke to him like a prophet, told him prophet things about himself. High things, really, really high things that even Joseph really was so high, even Joseph had a hard time with it. He kept wanting to get back to Canaan, but God says, you know, you're going to be in Egypt and you're going to rule Egypt and save your people and save all people like Jesus did. Jesus not only saved the Jews, but he saved, you know, the world. And so was Joseph going to do a type of Christ? So he had a higher calling in that sense. Now, prophets hear the higher word. They hear the first word. The first word is the highest. Like when you run a race and you're first, you won the highest reward. You won the highest award. in that race, right? You got first place. Not second, not third, not fourth, but first. So when the prophet gets the first word, it's the highest word. So when a prophet is prophesying to individuals, to people or nations or cities or whatever, he will give them words, not every time, but many times, that are higher than they could even imagine or even grasp. So the prophet gives them the first word, and they go like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Oh, wow, that's really, that's, you know, I knew something was really good, but not like that. Oh, my God, that's really high. That's really high. That's really, oh, well, that's, his thoughts are high. Because when God says my thoughts are higher than yours, he literally means it. It's not that he's not going to reveal them to you, but he has a process of which he reveals them to you. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men to those who love God. Let's read that. I'm going to read that for you. Are y'all getting anything out of this tonight? I hope you are. I'm hoping I'm helping you a little bit. Let's go here. Let's look at it here in 1 Corinthians 2:9, Bible Hub. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no man, no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things or the higher things and the deeper things are basically the same thing. Now, even the deep things of Satan, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, talks about the deep things of Satan. Right here we're talking about the deep things of the Spirit of God or the higher things. My thoughts are higher than yours. That's why it says, whether it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him, but it shall be revealed by the Spirit through the prophets, if you will. It's one way to say it. And so that's why we need prophets. That's why the devil tries to kill the prophets and tries to destroy the prophets and tries to ruin their reputation and try to do all kinds of things. I mean, he's at it all the time. Why? Because of this one thing. Because the higher realm or the deeper things, the higher or the deeper, you go high, you go deep, you go everywhere. That God can keep you there. He can show you some things. It's amazing. So, you know, so this is kind of why I explained to my friend today that, I mean, you may get lazy and, you know, in a sense, you know, going to a prophet and listen to a prophet all the time thing. But there's some things that you're never going to get. So it doesn't really matter whether you're listening to them or not listening to them. You're never going to be able to get, you're never going to get the words that they get, that the prophet gets, because it's a high word. It's the first word. So you're never going to get that unless you're a prophet. Right, and so if you're a prophet, then you're in a whole different realm. Anyway, you have to learn how to receive from God and hear from God. And you know, we have a lot of prophets out there that are in the lower levels of it yet, but yet they have that calling to go there. But they have to be tied up. There you go, tied up like Isaac. You have to be tried and tested. You have to be tied up. That was a good one, Tana. Thank you, Jesus. So you have to be tied up. Yeah, boy, is that about right? You have to be tried and tested so that you can perfect your character and God can perfect you and make you unafraid. The word, that's one of the things. You can't have any fear of man. Now, I've talked about my fear of man thing that God told me many years ago. He said, you know, the fear of man grieves me more than anything. I'm going, that didn't even make any sense. I'm going, it grieves you more than, the fear of man grieves you more than anything? I don't know about that one. I mean, he spoke to me just clear as day. I knew it was him. But I began to understand that every time I'd ever failed in my life, you know, before Christ and after Christ, was because of the fear of man. And most people don't know they have it. We were taught all of our life really to fear people, fear men. So, you know, it was in me too. And, you know, and God spoke to me about it very plainly, very, very plainly. And I didn't get it very plainly. It took me a long time to get it through dreams. He would get me. One of the way God gets me is he gets me in dreams where I can't wake up. And I mean, he'll work me in a dream. And you're like, man, I wish I could wake up, but you can't wake up. You can't shake yourself. And if you go back to, if you do wake up and go back to sleep, you go right back into it again, right? because he's trying to tell you something. You're being stubborn or something, or whatever it is. So that's basically it. So I wanted, you know, people kind of, the enemy hits people with this thing, oh, well, you know, if you, you know, and this happened to me, it's happened to everybody that I know of. You're going to get spoiled. You're going to get so, listening to prophets so much that you need to learn how to listen to the voice of God for yourself. And that makes a lot of sense. And it really is a sensible thing to think about. Until you understand what really goes on with what prophets do. Now, you may have a good pastor who teaches all the time, and you get addicted to his teaching, and you never want to leave his teaching because you never pull aside, and you never learn how to let God teach you, but it doesn't mean you have to, you know, leave church to, you know, leave that pastor as a great teacher, because sometimes, you know, we see people with great gifts, and we think that we can never do that. When the exact calling can be in our life. The exact calling can be right in our lives too. And so, you know, but getting away from it doesn't do it. And, you know, so anyway, I'm going to stick with the prophet thing, because the prophet thing is a completely different situation. Prophets hear things that nobody else hears. So unless you are a dyed-in-the-wool, called and chosen prophet of God, and you're effective, and you've been affected by, I mean, you know, you've gone through you've been tied up and offered up, you've been tried and tested, and you know, God has brought you to a place to where, you know, you less and less fear the devil, you less and less fear people, you less and less fear death. Believe me, when you're a prophet, I think it happens with anybody, with Christians, but when a prophet, you deal more with, at least I have, deal more with, you know, 100 people saying one thing that are well-known people, and you're the only one saying the other thing, and you're being the one, you're one that's being criticized and condemned, you know, for it. Like, you know, can they all be wrong? Well, yeah, I guess they were. They were all wrong. Every one of them. Every one of them were wrong, you know, at times. And so, does that mean they're always going to be wrong all the time? No, but you know what I'm talking about, that kind of thing. So, so do you have using the prophet as a crutch to hear the voice of God? Do you ever have that thought going through that you need to start hearing from him yourself? Well, that's a really good thought, and it's a really good question. Really, really good question that people ask. And so, but my answer is that what prophets do, now you might do that with a pastor or a teacher or whatever, and you know, what prophets prophesy to people things that they will never hear. See, that's one of the lie about that pastors teach. That's why they don't know, have a clue what they're talking about, because they really never been a prophet, I don't think. Well, not a practiced one, at least. Not a tied up one, an offered up one, or a tried one. That's for sure, because the very thing that you learn is that when you speak over people, they're not going to have a clue what you're talking about. Oh, if you don't know what they're talking about, if it doesn't confirm with you, it ain't God. Well, you know, confirming, you know, is the right word, but the interpretation to it is incorrect, because confirming it means that, you know, you kind of bear witness, like, oh, well, that's really high, man. I mean, that's really deep, but whoa, something in me likes it. So, I mean, I've never thought about that, never heard it in my life. Exactly the scripture I'm reading. No eye has seen, no ear heard, no has entered to the human mind. Has not been conceived in the heart or in the mind, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But it shall be revealed. How? By the Spirit, and usually through prophets. That's why prophets is so important. Not prophesying. Prophets prophesy, but I'm not talking about prophesying. I'm not talking about everybody can prophesy. But prophesying is a whole different realm. There, maybe it needs to bear witness. Maybe you need to tell in that realm. I don't know. But as a prophet, it's just the opposite than what they say. That's why I'm telling you. They're backwards. Donkey backwards. Bet you never heard that before. Donkey backwards. That sounds good. I'm hot tonight, man. I don't care what y'all say. Yeah. Anyway. It's funny, but it ain't that funny. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So you understand what I'm saying? But we got to straighten these people out, y'all. Go out there and straighten them out. Read them these scriptures. Read them the scriptures, you know, that we're given, Amos 3:7. And scriptures most people know, but they don't put it all together with that, with the scripture I just read in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. Maybe 8, 9, and 10. Even the Jews, even the prophets of old, the prophets in the day of Jesus, if there were any, I guess there weren't that many of them, but they would have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, Caiaphas even prophesied that the Son of Man, that Jesus had to die instead of all the people. Even he prophesied that, but I don't know what that means exactly, but he did prophesy it as a high priest. Right? But nobody knew. It was a hidden secret. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what did God do? He didn't want them to know it. Who knew it? The only real prophet in the earth, and that was Jesus himself. I don't know if John the Baptist knew it, that he was going to die, that he was the Messiah that was going to die on the cross. Amen. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and then it goes on. That's what it says. You know, none of the rulers could understood it of this age. If they had, they would have crucified it. Rather, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear hath heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But, there's the big but, God hath revealed it to us by the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So, you know, everybody can get things by the Holy Spirit, but there are some things that only prophets get. Like, who prophesied that? Isaiah. Isaiah said he was going to suffer and die. But they didn't get it. They couldn't see it. Even though a prophet prophesied it, they couldn't see it. So the prophets, you know, got it first. A lot of them talked about, David talked about the Messiah suffering. He might not have known what he was talking about. I mean, he might not have understood what the prophecy was about, but he prophesied about Christ, you know, saying, you know, why have you forsaken me, and all that kind of thing. It's amazing the passion David had as a prophet, how he connected to the passion of Christ and cried out like Jesus cried on the cross. You know, why have you forsaken me, and the whole thing. And it was amazing how David was used like that. But the prophets catch things. Sometimes we catch things. We don't even understand it ourselves, but we're catching it, prophesying it. And sometimes it takes a little time for a prophet. When you hear things, believe me, a prophet is no different than anybody else. When you hear things, something for the first time, you're just kind of like going, you know, I've talked about this many times. You're going like, you know, Hunter Biden, he's going to get off. I mean, they said they got all the proof that they're nailing. I mean, they said they've had proof. They've been running him through court for 5 years, you know, and everybody knew, you know, they got all the evidence. They got everything. There ain't no way he's going to get out of that. He's going to at least be put in prison for a little while or something. What do you get? Like Trump says, he got an out-of-jail ticket for free. And what? Who spoke that? God did. To a prophet. And a prophet said it right here on our show and said, you know, I didn't say what God said. I shared the dream I got about Hunter Biden, and I think it was back in January. And, I mean, everybody knew, you know. I think even his own, you know, everybody even thought his own father knew he's going to be busted. And they were trying to use it against Joe Biden. Well, you know, whatever. I didn't have an opinion about it. Only God knows. What happened in January? God gives me a dream. I see him in a very secluded place, hidden out in a nice pool. He was in a pool. Think about pool. Pool is like relaxing. Everything's cool. I'm on a vacation. I'm enjoying myself. Ain't nothing bad gonna happen to me. That's what was the look on his face. Like, he was smiling. Like, you know, everything's good with me. I'm fine. And he had some officer, some I don't know if an FBI agent and a black-haired guy right there with him in the pool. I never saw his face, but I think that now I understand that now as he's being protected, like that guy was there to, like an agent to protect him, like presidents have people watching over him. You know, and now, because when I realized that he wasn't being, you know, sexually weird, because at first I thought, what's he doing with a man over here next year? Where's his woman at? You know, that's my first thought. Is he weird? What's going on with this guy? And so I realized that, you know, at least this, my interpretation is that there was somebody there protecting him, and he was secluded off in an area that nobody could find him, you know, so to speak. He couldn't be touched. And sure enough, what happened? You know, that was January, I think January, February, March, April, May, June. 5 months later, after 5 years of running him through, you know, and through court and having all this evidence and all this stuff, and what do? They just kind of slapped his hand and said, that was not a very nice boy. You weren't a very nice boy, but we're going to let you go. Yeah. And, you know, and that's a dream. Who did God show it to? As far as I know, I'm the only one that got children. I'm sure there might have been others. I haven't heard anybody else saying that. But, I mean, they knew they had him. That's why God showed it, because he keeps trying to show us and me that when God speaks, God speaks. When a prophet speaks, when God speaks to a prophet, he gets the first word. So as far as I know, we gave the first word about that, that he's not going to be busted, that he's going to get off scot-free, basically. You know, slap his hand, and that's it. The interpretation of the dream. I remember, I think Nicole was saying that. I think she said a little bit clearer than I did, because she remembers exactly what I said. I believe. I don't remember exactly what that was, but it was that he was safe and sound. There was nothing going to happen to him, and that was the interpretation. Sure enough, what happened? Exactly that. Well, what was that? It was the first word to a prophet, because for some reason prophets have that thing. It doesn't mean they're more spiritual. It's just the gift God gives them. It's a thing, and it needs to be reverenced and respected, you know, by God's people, of course. You know, we're saying that for sure. So, yeah. Isn't this awesome? I love this stuff, man. It's awesome. This stuff. I love the prophetic realm. I don't see how anybody just I don't really live without it. I mean, honest to God, I guess I'm like addicted or something. All right, give me a minute. I'll be right back. Oh, my God. I've been talking for the last few minutes and had my phone muted. Okay, so I'm still working, so give me just a minute more. I'll be right back. Okay, I'll be right here. I'm running a little bit behind here, so in a little bit I'm going to be working on a couple things. I'll be right there. All right. All right. Very, very good. All right, I'm getting it all together here and almost ready to going to take communion. Oh, get your communion ready, if you would. Get ready to do that tonight. And we're talking about all kinds of things tonight, for sure. And, yeah, really, really awesome. Okay. Yeah, we've been talking about how that, you know, when we got the word about Hunter Biden, you guys know about the Hunter Biden word, right? We got it in January. I had a dream vision about Hunter Biden, and because they were getting ready to, the new Senate was getting ready to, you know, in Congress, whatever they were gonna, you know, bust him and take him out, Hunter Biden, and they knew that they had all the evidence, they had everything you could think of and dream of. They said to bust him, and there's no way he's gonna get out of it. And so in the dream that I had about him being in a safe place, and not one hair on his head was going to be touched. And so that's the word that we gave, was that they're not going to be able to get him. He's going to be protected. He's protected because in the dream there was a black-haired man there with him. I think it was like an agent. And like he was protected. He had a most happy, safe-looking face on his, you know, his countenance. That I'm going like, you know, that just tells me they're not going to get him. They're not going to be able to get anything on him. And so sure enough, we found out, a couple days ago, that's exactly what they did. They slapped him on the hand, and like Trump says, he got a free out of jail card, however you say that. Yeah, that's what they're saying. And I mean, he's basically got by with if he did anything, he got by with everything, basically. And he announced that he was guilty of tax things, not paying his taxes on time, and another thing of having a gun when he knew he was on drugs, and they just gave him, they slapped his hand on that. That was it. If they even did that. So the dream we had, who did God show it to? It was through a prophet. I don't know anybody who had that word. There might have been other people who said he was, you know, that, not saying I'm sure he probably won't be found out. I mean, anybody could say that, but did anybody know? So there's a difference between knowing and saying, oh, I don't think that's going to happen, because no, you either know or you don't. In the prophetic realm, you know or you don't know. And so God showed us that we would know that he was not going to be, you know, put in jail or made a criminal and out of it. You know, it's like amazing. So, you know, who did God do that through first? A prophet, right? A prophet's not more special than anybody else as far as in the human level. But when God gifts you with that gift of being a prophet, it's a whole different thing. Because you get information first. You get information that God says, not guessing, not thinking, oh, I bet it doesn't, I bet it does. And nobody really knows for sure, but I don't think it's going to happen. So we can all guess, and I can even guess, we can all guess. But the truth is, when God shows you, you know. And you say, you know, you're not going to get busted. I had a dream vision about it from God, and God showed a prophet and gives it to the prophet first. The prophet announced it. Nobody else had that I know of. If they did, I'd like to find out. I would like to see who did. It'd be interesting to see. But, you know, we had a word from the Lord on it, not conjecture or guessing or whatever. It was just, you know, a dream vision that we declared right here on the show, you know, several months ago. So it's really interesting to see when we understand how the prophet gets words first, the first word, the high word, and the deep words, if you will, from God, and then announces them in the earth, and then other people start getting a hold of it, and, you know, it starts doing a thing. So it's God's work. It's not, he uses human beings because he likes us. That's all I can tell you. He loves us. He likes us. He wants us. He wants us to be his, we are his family. We are his friends. And those who commit deeper to him and yield their life more to him are really tight friends with him. He has friends. He has really close friends. John was a really close friend. And that's what I would love to be, a really close friend with Jesus. Don't you? That's really what I want. How do you do that? Because it's a special gift to get a friendship? No, it's about being needy and knowing you can't do it without him. And brother, I know that's me. I mean, I've been like that all my life, you know. And thank God he didn't have to do a work in me to change that. He just kind of took it and started, you know, doing a number on me and drawing me in, knowing that I was couldn't help myself, knowing that I knew I couldn't help myself, right? I mean, it's a beautiful thing at the same time. So, and my weakness, she is strong, and I can literally say that is really, truly true, and you guys can too. We all really know that. All right, so we talked about the profit thing tonight and how you can never, if you don't have the profit gift, if you listen to a profit all the time, you're not going to get spoiled because you could go hear from that stuff. You can go hear that stuff for yourself if you just go get off with God and go listen to a prophet. You start getting off to yourself and listen to God yourself. You're not going to hear that stuff. So that's you see the point. So that's really not on that level. That doesn't. It's the enemy trying to mess around with people. But at the same time, does God want us to spend time hearing from Him? Absolutely. But you'll never hear, if you're not a prophet, you're never going to hear what a prophet hears. The prophet's going to hear high things about you and is going to prophesy high things over you personally that you personally will never get. That's why God uses a prophet to get it first and give it to you so that you can, you know, things you've never heard, things that never enter into your heart, not enter into your mind, you've never heard before. That's what real, just the opposite of what they say. Oh, if you hadn't heard it before, don't listen to it. It's just the opposite with a prophet. If you haven't heard it before, it's probably going to be if he's a prophet or she's a prophet. Right. Yeah. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered the heart of the imagination of what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it shall be revealed. The but, I think that's the prophet. They should say the donkey. But God hath revealed to us by His Spirit. Or I'm going to put in there just in my own additive. I'm going to add something, right? But we're putting in there. We're trying to explain. By everybody can hear from the Spirit of God. Of course they can. You're born again, but not everybody hears the first word. See, and so God will speak prophetically through a prophet only the first words for you that are high words, things that you will never be able to grasp on your own. You can grasp a lot of things, but you can't grasp those high things. And those deep things, it says the Spirit searches all the things of God, even the deep things of God. Not only the high things, but the deep things and everything in between. But the prophet, we've got to really get that understanding why we can't say, well, I guess I need to, you know, the devil lying to people or mind lying to us or whatever, or just, you know, trying to figure out how to do things. And a lot of people have, you know, I've done that myself. I've wondered about that. I've thought about that. Well, do I just need to get off by myself and hear from God? But, well, yeah, absolutely. But there's some things, like what a prophet gets, you're never going to hear that stuff. Only from a prophet. So, you know what I'm saying? So I hope that makes sense tonight. I thought it was a great conversation and a great learning time for all of us on that. And glad we can all be a part of it here on PGN. And the Hunter Biden thing was the latest thing that we got that was kind of a hidden thing, definitely hidden. And even the dream, it was kind of hidden, like he was hidden. I mean, out in the middle, in the dream, I was a prophet in a rocky mountain somewhere in a beautiful place. And all of a sudden, you know, I was searching for something. I'm a searcher, right? When you're a Christian, you search after God. I'm searching as a prophet. Not even know what I'm doing there, searching. All of a sudden, in my searching, I'm transported to where he is. He's in this pool in this big, you know, solid rock mountain, you know, within, deep within in a pool, a beautiful pool, you know, about a 15, 20-foot pool, you know, in round with a walk way around it. Just immaculate, that rounds, you know, the ceiling over it like a, you know, just beautiful. And it's all rock, all solid rock. And the water in there was clean and pure as you can get. And I'm in there in the pool, and I'm watching him, and this looks like an agent with him, a black hair guy, and knew that he was just as happy as a lark. Nothing going on wrong here. Nothing going to happen to me. I thought it was a look on his face, and that's what I told you guys. So interpreted it as ain't nothing going to happen to him. He's been, sure enough, we found out. Wow, really crazy. All right, so there you go. I think we did it. Now let's take communion tonight if y'all want. Let's do that. What you know, to grab me a communion. Hang on a second. Give me a minute. Be right back. All right, let's take communion tonight, y'all. What do you say? Let's believe God to connect us into the revelation of the Spirit of God. Now, what we can get is revelation. It's really cool. We can get revelation. Paul the Apostle prayed for everybody, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's spirit of revelation, and we all have that. Prophets have that spirit of revelation, too, but they get it in the first things first. They get the first things, you know, dimension also, and many others. But, I mean, that, you know, the spirit of revelation connects them to that, and it's really, really awesome. But everybody can walk in the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Christ Jesus. I mean, you know, there was a – remember we talked about Stephen, who they stoned him because he was so wise. He was so many miracles were happening through him. So, you know, a deacon who is a non-prophet, a non-pastor, a non, you know, five-fold ministry person, was used in signs, wonders, and miracles. That's why I love Stephen. Stephen's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, believe that or not. I really love him. Of course, my middle name is Stephen, too, so I kind of identify with him on that. But there you go. The prophets have their special, that special thing that God has given. And, you know, just spilt my juice. Spilt my communion juice. Wow, that was smart. Well, all right, juice on stuff here. All right, y'all, here we are. We're at it again to take communion. So let's lift up the body and of Jesus. We've got for revelation tonight. Okay. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for being part of PGN and being part of the family. Not everybody's part of the family. Thank you for being part of the family. Families who hear the word of God and do it. You hear the prophet word and do it or believe it or whatever. And we're kind of there trying to learn about all that. All right, let's lift up the bread, if you would, tonight. I hope you have it with you out there. Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." That's amazing. Betrayed. The same night he was betrayed, took bread. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat, friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, so now we lift up the cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." In my blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This drink. Hallelujah. We drink your blood, Jesus. Lord, tonight we thank you for showing us about how the DNA realm, how to deal with the miraculous, the scalpel of the Word of God, cutting and making incisions, and then you do your mighty work by your Word, by your servants, and then you miraculously heal and able to bring miraculous intervention into the lives of people in their DNA realm and change their DNA, literally wipe away the added codes of sin or whatever, disobediences that have defiled the genetic code, got into the blood, sin gets into the blood, life is in the blood, everything in your life goes to your blood. Your good things, your bad things, your disobedient things, your obedient things go right into the blood and alter that blood. Then you pass it down to your children. And God says, "I've had enough. I sent my son 2,000 years ago, and it is enough. Listen to this. This is the word of the Lord right now. This is, it is enough. Enough, enough, enough. It is enough. No more. No more. I shall change the DNA and the genetic code back to the origin of what was in my mind when I created man. I shall recreate my creation, reborn, renewed, made new, recreated, recoded, reworded, renumbered, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now for every person listening. God, as you take your word and you cut open beyond the flesh, it's beyond, the thing about that scalpel word, that dream vision was that it was beyond the flesh. It wasn't just surface cutting, it was deep cuts that got into the bloodline, to the blood realm. Well, there you go. Into the blood realm of people. And when it got into the blood realm of people, then God was able to miraculously heal. God was able to bring healing completely. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Done, Jesus. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse and wash. Make new. Wash away the added codes from sin and disobediences from generations gone by, and even in our own lives where we've added to and taken away from the original codes in his image to be. In Jesus' name, I speak the blood of Jesus over each genetic portion of your being. Every cell, every code that has been added to or taken away from, I command those cells to go back to the origin, be made whole. The origin is be made whole in your genetic cells, in your DNA, in your blood. In the blood, because we've cut below the surface. We're not just dealing with the surface. We're not dealing with the flesh where it comes back. We're dealing with the roots. We're going to the DNA in Jesus' name. Cleanse and wash and let people wake up tomorrow with new desires, new thoughts. The bondage broken because they didn't just get the devil cast out of them. Thank God for that. They didn't just get some psychological inner healing. Thank God for that, too, from the Holy Spirit. But they got their DNA changed. Hallelujah. Supernaturally. Wiped away all the codes, all the numbers, all the words. The words. Codes are made out of words and numbers. Hallelujah. And make them back in their origin, Father. Be thou made whole. When Jesus said, be thou made whole, you know what he was doing? He was speaking forth the original genetic code. And the Father said, you know, he planned it all. He put it all together before he created man and the earth and everything else. And he did it in his mind with formulas, or however you want to say it, with codes. And once he had it all done, and he knew all he had to do, let the Holy Spirit breathe on it. And it would, when the Holy Spirit breathed on those codes, if you will, those words, Jesus is the Word, in the beginning was the Word, when he breathed on the words and the numbers and all the things, the codes that God made, it created a man, perfect, perfect in every way. God, let that be done again in the name of Jesus. I speak over every human being tonight. Be now made whole. Be made into your origin, the original of who God made you to be. In the name of Jesus, be made whole right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Your sins are forgiven you. You are not guilty anymore. I don't care what you did and what you were guilty of before. Now, the Bible says, just when you're justified, forgiven, washed clean, made new, just as if you never did it. You are not guilty. You are not guilty. You were born in guilt. You were born in shame. You were born to sin. Now you're born to be righteous. Hallelujah. Be made whole. Be made new. Be in the image and likeness of God. And the design that he made him, the design, the information, the words, be made whole in that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you glory. Lord, touch and heal your people, God. We speak forgiveness. We speak anointing. We speak mantles. We speak glory. We speak the glory that we once had with the Father. We speak the glory that we once had with the Father. We speak the glory that we once had with the Father. Jesus said, Father, restore to me the glory that I once had with you. Restore the glory that I once had with you. Jesus even said that. Restore the glory that I once had with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, restore the glory that mankind had once with you in Jesus' name, and even greater glory. Look at this, friend. John 17, verse 5. I just got this. This is over our communion DNA miracles. John 17, verse 5, Passion Translation says, so my Father, Jesus says, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. Whoa. Woo. Y'all feel that one? Oh, my God. Y'all get that? Woo. God, I heard the Lord say that with us, like you and me, saying, restore us back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. Hallelujah. Before Adam and Eve sinned, we had that glory in the garden. God, restore back to us the glory that we shared together in the garden before sin came into the earth. Into the universe. We were face to face with you, Jesus, with God Almighty. Hallelujah. Kali Oraka Sakleko Pakadi Pandoche Pandiho Polio Palandi Mrano Kamari Pakamari 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 Umari Paka Paka Pakanari Mari 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 Nisho Pandeho. My God, I mean, I saw that in the spirit. I tell you, I'm going somewhere, y'all. Go with me. I know you're going with me. Let's go together in this. Dear Jesus. I'm like, wow. I'm like blown away. because I heard me saying that to him and then us saying that to him as human beings with the DNA realm being healed. Because when the DNA is healed, you don't even, the devils have the DNA's changed. What are they, how can they stay? You see what I mean? We don't even have to cast them out. I'm not saying we're not going to cast out devils, but when our DNA gets cleansed and washed and restored with the glory that we had in the beginning, then what's the devil going to have to hang on to? Nothing. He's not going to have nothing in us. Y'all seeing that? He ain't going to have nothing in us, so we're not even going to have to go get out because our DNA is going to be changed. And the only thing he has to hang on to is our DNA, our genes, the attitude and the taken away ones. But when those are made new and restored, John 17:5, Jesus said, restore back to me the glory. That's what I heard the Lord say just a minute ago, except for talking about us, that we shared together in the Garden of Eden, God as human, as humankind. We were in Adam. We were in the seed. In the womb of, we were in the seed of Adam. We were in his seed. We were his seed, the glory seed before he sinned, and then his seed became defiled. And now the seed of the Word of God is being compromised. There's always the true, real Word of God, the true gospel, and that's going to restore. It's the only thing that's going to restore. You see why God wants to be so meticulously perfect about his gospel? Because if Paul said, if we're preaching any of the gospel and what he preaches, in other words, he wasn't saying, if you mess with my stuff, my copyrighted stuff, I'm going to take you out. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with, if you change it, it's like God told Moses, do it according to the pattern. Do it exactly to the pattern. You change one thing, one iota, I won't show up. And that's what God's doing today. He's saying, I'm going to restore back the DNA that you had with me in the seed of Adam that Adam and Eve had when we were their children. We should have been glorified children instead of unglorified. So God, restore back to us the glory, John 17:5, that we had with you, we shared with you in the beginning. That Adam and Eve, our mother and father, shared with you in the beginning, oh God. Restore that glory. Wow, my Lord and my God, y'all. I'm like flipping out over this. Woo, hallelujah. My God. Wow, 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 wow. I am blown away right now. Dear Jesus. Dear, dear, wonderful Jesus. Wow, my God, man. This is like blowing me out the waters. I mean, like, literally. Something's going on. I'm glad we're not missing out on it by trying to be religious. Wow. Wow, y'all, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. I'm just getting so blessed. Woo! Wow, 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 wow. I honestly, God, I've never thought this. I'd have never thought this. Not in a million years. Not this. Mind-boggling. Okay, y'all, give me a minute. There's office coming in. I'm going to be gone just for a little bit. Be right back. All right, y'all, give me a minute here. Thank you. Wow. My Lord. Wow. Oh, dear God. I'm just, my God. Really cool. Dear Jesus, pour your spirit out, God. Wow. wash us and cleanse us, God. Cut us deep. Don't just let it be a flesh thing. Don't just let it be an outward thing, God. Let it be an inward thing. Cut us deep, Jesus. Cut us deep, God. And then make us whole. Make us whole by your Spirit. Only you can do that. Only you can put us back together, God. Only you can do that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, give me a minute. I'm having to gather everything up here. All right, y'all. I'm just going to do it here. Give me a few. I'm working on it here. Okay. Okay, I think that's it for now. So let's get ready to pay our offerings. And thank you for being with us. Thanks for your giving. You can give through Zelle. You can give through PayPal. I mean, you get through, let me get the three with the phone. The three with the phone number is Zelle, Cash App. All right, everybody know what Cash App is. And then Venmo. All you need is the phone number, 214-505-8719. Phone number, just you can give by that phone number, and then PayPal account. Of course, if you have a PayPal account, you can do that. If you need the link for that, let me know. I'll send you the link. If you don't have it, if you'd like to have it, we'd love to give it to you and help you get there with that. It'd be really cool. Checking everything, make sure I got everything that we have coming in right now. What other people might give during the rest of the show. We'll see what goes on with that. Now let's go ahead and start praying and get into the word of the Lord for these offerings. We thank God for the Hunter Biden word that we got, that did come to pass. Just recently, if you don't know about that, check it out. Really cool. Our God is helping us, speaking to us, loving on us, letting us know things. He just continues to let us know that he knows. and he's showing it to us. Right? That's what he continues to do. It's really amazing. It's just so beautiful how he doesn't have to do that and he does it. It's just mind-boggling. Amen. So there you go. All right. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Jesus, for that coming short of the glory, God, that, you know, coming short of the glory means you're not letting the Holy Spirit speak to you about everything. And so I thank you that you are, that you will, that you can, that you do. You're going to open for everything he has for you, that you're not going to, walk, let any visitations pass you by, that you're going to see every visitation, understand everything God's speaking to you, walk in everything he's telling you to walk in, and so you can pass it down to whoever God has you give it to. God's showing you, teaching you how to pass information down to people in all the different ways you do it, to pass it down, because he's going to give you information that he wants to pass down. That's why he gives it to you. It's not just that we have it for ourselves, but unless he says it's just for us, there's times that does happen. But for the most part, he says, you know, this is to give to other people, right? Most everything we get is to give to other people at one time or another, one way or another, all right? Although I have had information to this day that I can't share with anybody, though I would love to, but if God can't trust me with keeping his word and until he says give it, then what good am I? He won't share anymore with me. That's why I'm very careful over it. He will not share it with you anymore, I guarantee you, right? You know that. He shares it with those who he trusts. He says, don't give it. Everybody, you know, people want it. People pulling on you about it. And you can't blame them, you know, for that. But you hold strong, and it'll work out good for everybody. Amen. All right, Nicole, $7.58. Thank you, Nicole, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the divine appointments you've had in the past and the one God's going to bring you in the future. It's like I see the divine appointments accelerating to higher levels, like having visitations from angels unaware to angels showing up, like angels manifesting. And like divine appointments, literally divine, like entertaining angels unawares is one level, right? And then entertaining angels, you know, aware, like you know it's an angel, but they're standing right there in front of you with their glory on them. And speaking to you and talking to you, ministering to you. Yeah, even through dreams and visions that you've already had before, but may God increase that and multiply that. And it's mainly called the secret place. God's showing you how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, how to get a secret, how to keep a secret until it's time to reveal the secret. There is a time to reveal the secret. You know, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard. Enter to the heart of man, things that God has prepared for those living, but it shall be revealed. So things are eventually revealed. How to reveal a secret in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, Daryl Paul, $9.99. Thank you, Daryl Paul, for that. Thank you for your love for God, Daryl. And thank you, Jesus, for his willingness to serve you and to be your servant and to walk humble before you. Walk as a servant before you, God, and then watch his service that he gives as a servant become very needed, very wanted. Amen. So that people want it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Those who serve the best, I've talked about this many times before, but, you know, Amazon, Jeff Bezos learned how to serve, and he learned how to serve really well. When people, I talk to people, they love Amazon. Why go to the store? Jesus. This is the food thing, maybe. Just order it over at Amazon. Let it bring it to you, right? And even good deals. The whole thing, it's amazing. It's fast. And, you know, the system that he made was amazing. So he's a good example of being the servant that everybody wanted. And look what happened to him. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sally, $12. Thank you, Lord. Same thing for you, Sally, in that sense, learning how to serve, learning how to, you know, be the one who knows how to. It's just like if you were a massage therapist or a chiropractor or something, and you're the best chiropractor, you can pop them and rock them. Pop them and rock them. Fix them, you know, really good. And so everybody comes to you because, you know, you do it right. You do it with a good attitude. You're professional. And you're dependable, you're kind, you're generous, you're truthful, you're honest, you know, like all those things that people love, and you're all those things. And God has called you to be all those things and to learn how to serve that to people. When you have something good, like when a prophet is something good, when I first realized what God had called me to do, then there was a whole thing of learning how to serve it. You could have some great dishes, and if you don't know how to serve it, people are not going to come, right? You're angry, if you're grouchy, if you know, a good servant, a servant, they're gonna like your food. They're gonna have a hard time coming in because they want to put up with. But when you have when you learn how to serve, like when I learned how to serve the Word of God, and I'm have a lot more to learn. I believe me, I'm learning a lot. And when you learn how to serve, then God trusts you, number one, with more information, and He makes you bigger. Why? Because you learn how to serve. You learn how to deliver the goods and do it in a way with a smile where people go, I can't wait to serve. I'm going to order something just to see your face. I'm going to get something just to hear your voice. I'm going to get something just to listen to your text, listen to your whatever. You listen to your video, hear your thing, feel your spirit. Amen? Yeah. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening that up to her and broadening her, God. In that realm of being a servant. That's why you can, when you really start understanding more why Jesus said a servant becomes the greatest in the light of the way we're talking about it, you can see why it's so true, so easy. Why didn't we get it? I don't know. Why didn't I get it? I don't know. So help us, Lord, to serve your word, serve your character, serve your love, serve your service in a way that it's that it's an honor for us to do it, and people know it, that we honor it. And because we honor it, they honor us. Amen. Being a good mother, being a good father, being whatever, a good boss, or you learn how to serve. Sometimes you got to be tough with people, but you have tough love. They know you love them. They know you're doing it for their good and for others. Learning how to serve that love, learning how to serve discipline. Amen. All right. Raise a child up in the way he should go, and he won't depart when he's older, because he can ever remember mama. Yeah. Amen. Awesome. An awesome thing. And what a glorious thing. All right, Angela, South Carolina, 2141, 1787 and 350 something, I think, something like that, at $21.41. Thank you, Angela. Did you send me a text or something on any prayer request? I don't think I saw it. If you did. No, you didn't send me anything yet. Okay. All right, just making sure. All right, let me check my other phone. Sometimes things come on one phone, not on the other. I have to get that fixed. I still don't have that fixed yet. All right, but I don't see anything. All right, so thank you, Lord, for Angela of South Carolina, 2141. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the activation of things. God's shown her how to activate. The best way to activate, Angela, is giving. You know, like when I give the word of the Lord away, what do I get? A lot more. Right? I get. And then pretty soon people start to value you. They're going like, man, he gives that stuff away. It's like, it just lets you give back to him, you know, if you know, as you feel pleased to do it. You know, so there's something about, so learning how to activate things. You know, sometimes, you know, investing your time in something is activating something. And learning how to activate your faith. There's all these whole things of that. God wants you to focus. If people would learn to listen to it, the reason God says listen to a prophet and you'll prosper is because when he gives you a word from the Lord, then that word gives you something to search him out with. Because you can search out God for a lot of things and it'd be all the wrong thing. But when a prophet gives you something, you know, he's going to give you first word or, you know, things that you know you will not be able to come up with on your own. Come up with a lot of things on your own. A lot of people, sheep can come up with all kinds of things from God. There's certain things that prophets give that nobody else gives, first words. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that. So when you get that information from the servant of the Lord and from the Lord God, then you take it and you search out. You know, it's like putting in the right search information into something, and you come up with it the first time. Instead of trying to, you know, sometimes when I'm searching things, you have to work it. Put this in, it comes up with something. Oh, there's a proper word. So you take that word, add that proper word to your search, and you come up with a little bit more. And then you add a little bit more of a proper word to that. And pretty soon you come up with a sentence. It's all proper words, all correct words, all
activating word, and that one thing will activate, and you'll find the treasure. That's how you really search things out. A lot of people don't know that, but that's how you do it. That's one way I did it. And learn how to put question marks and hyphens and, you know, different ways to do things to search. So it's called learning how to activate, how to find. Yeah. Things. Seek and you shall find, and it shall be open. Yeah, so amen. Activation. It's extremely important. Activate your faith, all that, yeah. All right, Robin, $25. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Jesus, for Robin. Thank you, Lord, for confirming her, soothing her heart, and knowing that you're working all things out together for good, literally. All things out. Why? Because she loves you, and she's called according to your purpose. So here you go. So called according to your purpose. Number one, we know you love it. All right, no question about that. But called according to his purpose, thing that we develop in yielding our will to the Lord. Because the more we yield our will to him, the more we easily flow into his purposes. And when you do that, and when you're learning how to activate that or walk in that or live in that, then, you know, things work out together for good at higher levels. There's different levels of how God works things out for good. There's the good, the perfect, and the admissible, and the, what is it, the wills of God. My mind just went blank. So you have those good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There you go. If I just let go and let it flows up. Good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So there are different levels of the will of God. So what level do we want? So we don't want to learn, Robin, how to perfect that part of God works all things out together for good to those who love him purposes. So when you're called according to his purpose, it doesn't mean you're going to walk in it, right? It just means that it's there and you can. So learning how to walk in that is everything. And then you watch everything work out together for your good. Everything. It's almost deceiving because, and I say deceiving because it looks like sometimes we mess up something, you know, really bad, maybe whatever it would be. And then God works out for good. And then we look back and say, man, if I had to mess that up, it wouldn't work out good. But it's not true. It's not really true. Messing up something doesn't make sense. You know, we could have not messed that up and done the same thing, right? You know what I'm saying? But it's almost like, so that's what God does. No matter what we mess up, we don't have to mess up, and messing up doesn't make it work. But if we give it to him, it will work out for his good. Yield it to him. Offer it to him. Amen. Do what he says about it. Okay. Lisa from Pennsylvania just gave $17.27 for Thanksgiving offering for DNA divine alignment. I mean, that's a good way to say it. DNA divine. Oh, in other words, you're going DA as DNA, right? Is that what you're doing? Well, what is N? You got to have something for the N. Come on, girl. You can do it. Divine now alignment. There you go. Now you come up with your own. Divine alignment. I love that. DNA. D&A. DNA. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Lisa, God, that very thing. God, we're thanking you for tonight. Our communion had to do with that. That God cuts us to the reason he was cutting us because he didn't want to just do a work on the surface, right? That's the thing. A lot of people just get work done on the surface, right? Therefore, you know, it doesn't last long. It doesn't stick with us. It's not permanent. But what I saw in the dream vision was that in the dream vision, it was first very raw because I'm cutting the flesh open all the way through the flesh, you know, 3 foot long. And just, I'm going like, yeah, thank God that was a dream. I'd have passed out probably. and then the blood, and the blood all of a sudden in the clothing, and like there was a shirt or something, like kind of off to the side, it soaked up the blood, and then all of a sudden, that's when it turned. The blood went away, and the stain of the, I suppose, the stain of that sin was gone. Boom! Because the clothing represents exterior in our lives, exteriorly. Right, what's inside of us manifests outside of us. What's done in secret, you know, the DNA secret realm, the sin, the thing that passed down to us, you know, it manifests in our flesh, one way or the other. Yeah, so that all instantly went away. Amazing to watch that just disappear instantly. And then the incisions were instantly put back together. I could see the line, but they were just, you could tell they were whole and perfect, perfectly put back together. It's amazing. And not even going to create a scar, probably. I don't know. But yeah, amazing. Thank you, Lord, for that. We speak that over her children. We speak that over all of us. God, we all need that. Everybody born of a human being, you know, born of woman, needs that. That's why Jesus said he that's born of a woman, born of flesh is flesh, and born of spirit is spirit, which is born of a woman, is born with that sin nature. We're all born with it. That's why we have to be born again. And that's what this is all about, is being born again, except in a way I don't think we've ever thought about or much thought about the DNA realm. Amen. Let it be done, God. We declare and decree that in Jesus' name. You give her wisdom, revelation. Give us some new stuff, God. Let's don't, maybe not mix in the old unless it fits in. Mix in the old revelation with this new thing you're doing. A new wineskin, new wine, new blood with this revelation. Maybe not mix in old things. May I not do it. May anybody else not do it either. May you keep us from that. We don't add to or take away from this divine revelation. Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you, Sandra and Robert. Bless you guys. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing forth, like I see you bringing forth an offering to God, like an offering. You know, I don't know what that offering is, whether it's a thing, a person, finances, I don't know, but it's a good thing that you're bringing, because it's like you're bringing the fruit of something. I see you guys bringing the fruit, like, you know, like maybe a testimony. I don't know exactly what you're bringing, but it doesn't really matter, because the whole thing is that it's all fruit being born supernaturally. Wow, awesome. And you're bringing that as an offering before God, a sweet-smelling savor before the Father. Saying, thank you, Lord. Like the lepers who got healed, only one of them out of 10 came back, right? That's kind of what I see with you. Like, you guys came back, and thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for that. Amen. Anything I do for you, let me know. You know, like that, letting Jesus know that you appreciated it, what he's done for you. I love this stuff, man. Woo! Picrero pana, chinko panali garoja. Wow, amazing. This stuff's amazing. I mean, you have to understand, I see this stuff. Most of the time, I see this stuff. Sometimes I just hear it. Sometimes I see it. And it is amazing. It's awe. Listen to y'all, what I just heard. It is awe. A-W-E, like awe. Amazing. Awe, amazing. God, you're so amazing. That'll be a song. Jeannie, there's a song. It ought to be amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing. I can't sing, but I can try. Amazing. Somebody's got to have had that up there somewhere. It's so cool. Amazing. I don't care what they say. I got it fresh from God. Even they already got it. I got it fresh from God. Fresh. Yeah. All right, Sandra Robert, there you go. Oh, amazing. Hey, Sandra Robert, it's like I keep this thing about the woman who, the Gentile woman who had the daughter, had a devil, and the daughter who had a devil. Oh, my God. And Jesus said, no, you know, I can't give the children's bed to the dogs. He says, well, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And it put him in awe. He went, Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, that's what Jesus is doing, amazing. He was amazed. Amazed. That woman's faith. You know, are you kidding me? He broke the rules of that girl. Yes, he did. Claim that, y'all. Claim it, that all amazing, breaking the rules for you. Love it. Can't do it until she said that. Woo! Couldn't do it until she said that. And then he couldn't refuse that war, that dear little lady. That's her heart. Man, could you imagine, you know, like the wise virgin telling him, you know, I can't give you my oil. And like Jesus saying, no, I can't give you this oil. And then he changes his mind. because she didn't ask for, you know, she just said, but you know, the puppy dogs, you know, eat the crumbs from the master's table. We lick them up. And I love you. Like, I can't help but just love this Gentile girl. The Lord, you know, Sandra and Robert, there you go. All right, Nikki and Charles, $30, praying with Joshua. Thank you, Lord, we just pray with Joshua tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that name. Oh, that name, God, let that name mean something to you, God. When every time he says his own name, May it just shake the devil up. May he go, Joshua, what about that Joshua for? Joshua, 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 Joshua. Yeah. You're going to think of Jesus. 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 Joshua. Let him hear the word Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keep me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yeah. Keep me singing as I go. Yeah, when they hear Joshua, maybe they hear the word Jesus. I think Joshua means, what, deliverer or savior or something? Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for that, for Nikki and for Charles, God. Let Nikki's heart, God, you know, hear when she hears the name of her son, let her just think about Jesus. Instead of seeing him in his state of being, seeing him in the state of Jesus being created in the image and likeness of Jesus. We're totally renewed mind, spirit, mind. So just think about your deliverance. Girl, how God delivered you. That was so amazing, man. And Charles, I mean, my God. And then just for your son, like how easy it is for God to just zap him. Zap. Zap all that sin. Zap all that hurt. Zap all that pain. Zap all that confusion. Leave him with Jesus. Him and Jesus getting together. Being best friends like John, the beloved. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, over Charles, God. We thank you over Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, for his children. We thank for the children thing. We thank for the DNA thing, Father, with our children, with us and our children, how we all need it. When we get it, it's going to be easier to download it to our children. It's going to be easier to, you know, I don't know if the word easier. It brings it closer. Access closer, because what's happening is that it's getting in our bloodline, which is their bloodline. Yeah, our bloodline, their bloodline. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my soul doth cry to thee. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my soul doth rise to thee. Holy thou art, holy, Lord God Jehovah. My God, I haven't heard that song in years. Ooh, that's all over Joshua. Let it be done, Jesus. Let it be done over Charles, his family, their family, the bloodline. Wipe it clean. Wipe the slate clean, Jesus. Somehow position us. All right, Deborah and John, $40. Thank you, Deborah and John, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing them, God, highly favoring them, God, in Jesus' name, that they will be favored. Favored means that when everybody else is cursed or without God's blessing, you have it. You don't understand it. You don't know. You know, what, you know, why me? What's this? You know, it's just something God just, the choosing of God, John and Deborah. God's going to show you the choosing. When God chooses you, like when he chose Israel to be his, you know, his own children, that was a great blessing, but they also had a lot of problems. God was also very jealous over them. And when he got upset, he got really upset, you know, we got, you know, angry. He got really angry with them. And yet at the same time, he had great compassion and great forgiveness and great jealousy and the whole thing. And the wrap up of being chosen, it's not exactly what people think. Hang on a second. Yeah, and I see you. I've been seeing this lately often with people. I see, like, Jesus when he wrapped a towel around himself, and he unwrapped the towel and washed their feet, humbled himself. He bore his nakedness to a certain degree to them, meaning that he opened himself up to them and bore that things, you know, the secret stuff, the private stuff, you know, like in a, he, whatever their little degree, I don't know exactly what it was, but he, you know, I mean, he was like a servant. He was down, you know, they had not recognized him. You know, Peter just, it flipped Peter out. I'm like, wow, what is going on here? You know, you're not going to do that for me. Well, if I don't do it for you. And God's showing you the cleansing, deep cleansing, washing round of being a servant of God, Deborah and John, and Deborah, and just, you know, washing their feet, washing where they walk. Their walk life, dealing with him in the walk around, walking with God. I saw something the other day in the scripture. I was listening to it actually. We are the temple of God, and he's going to walk in us, live in us, and walk in us. That's feet. That's his feet. There's something with the feet, where we go. When they wash their feet, they're not going to go places they used to go. They're not going to, once they get their feet clean, they're not going to get their feet dirty again. They're like, oh, I don't want to get that kind of dirty. Natural everyday dirty, yeah. Natural everyday dirt, yeah. Walking around life, yeah, but not that trash, not that pig pen, not that smell, not that poopy smell, pig poop smell. Yeah, that clean freshness, and they're going to get used to that clean freshness and not want to go back to that. They're not going to want to go back to sin, Deborah. They're not going to want to go back to those places. Once they get used to being clean and pure, they're going to go like, man, I can't, this is the smell. How come this didn't smell like this before? Because they were kind of had the smell in them. Once they get that smell out of them, they go in there, then they really smell what it really smells like, and it stinks to high heaven. They go, I don't want any more of this. We don't even have to tell them don't do that. They're going to be like going, I can't stand it anymore. That's what happened with me when I got born again. He so cleaned me up. I had a really hard time sinning. I did sin at times in my life, very little as far as, you know, like deliberate thing. But, you know, because it was so unclean, it reminded me of being unclean. I hated that unclean feeling. I carried it around for years. And so when I got cleaned up, I didn't want to go back. It was really hard to go back. I had to really be, you know, flopping around and messed up and having a hard time and whatever. And it's just, thank God it didn't happen much. But, dear Jesus. You just can't live like that. You just can't handle it. Thing I'm talking about. Amen. Angela Joy, $40. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Angela. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for blessing Angela, God. Thank you, Lord, for opening her heart, showing her the ways of God. Showing her the ways of God, Jesus, for showing her the ways of God, Lord. There's a way where there seems to be no way. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. No way. No way that can happen. No way that's going to work. No way that's going to happen. No way. Oh, yeah? Wait. Jesus is the way. He makes a way where it seems to be no way. The thing is, it just seems to be. So God is going to break through all the seams and open up the eyes to what seems to be no way, to seeing a way. I had this happen to me just yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah, I'm dealing with something really difficult, you know, for me at least. I mean, I've been dealing with this for a while, going like, how do I, what's the answer to that? What's the answer to that? What's the answer to that? And I mean, boom, made a couple of phone calls, and what I've been groaning over for a year or two, something like that, maybe longer, I don't know. Like, the answer came, boom, just like that, and it was done for free. Didn't cost me a nickel. I could not believe it. I mean, this happened yesterday. It shows you what's going on with me, what God's just graciously bringing me through stuff, man. That's amazing. I mean, you know, I got this guy on the phone, a legal person, and I just started saying something. I thought he's going to, like, you know, okay, send me, you know, $500, $1,000 before I start talking to him. Okay, I would have been glad it'd be, if he'd have given me the answer. And, you know, from ministry stuff, you know, it's not my, I don't have the money myself, but ministry stuff. I've been glad to get the answers, and he just kind of blabbed it all out. And I kept asking him more questions. He had given me more answers. And it's things, listen, it's things I already knew, but I just couldn't believe that that was the answer to it. Isn't that horrible? I had to say that. And he just said, you know, I mean, it's things that I have no knowledge of at all. And God had showed me the answer. And I asked God to forgive me today. I did. I said, Jesus, you know, because I started thinking about it. You told me all that. And I wasn't able to hear it. You know. And so when he told me that, I went, oh, my God, that bore witness, because that's exactly what God told me. And that's why I had to apologize to God today and tell him, you know, I'm so thankful. That's what you try to tell me, God. Forgive me for not paying attention. But, you know, it's good to have confirmation from the legal world. You know what I mean? And for free. I mean, I can't believe that. I can't believe they charged me nothing. And I checked on him, too, and it was good. Good stuff. It was cool. It was really cool. Yeah. Really, really cool. All right, Jeannie, $65. Thank you, Jeannie. For that blessing, God. Thank you for the recovery, God, this the spirit of recovery, spirit of restoration. Restore that which the cankerworm, the palmworm has eaten in Jesus' name, because God is wanting to choose you to be the one who steps in and takes it. Amen. Sometimes God just chooses somebody. He just chooses you, and it's not because you're, you know, Mrs. Wonderful or perfect or nothing, you know. That's what I can figure about me. Why did God choose me to do what I'm doing? Because I sure didn't have it all together at all. But when he chooses you, then you don't even have to be sensitive to him in that area. He just talks to you whether you're listening or not. He says, hey, yeah, Randy. Until he gets my attention there. Huh? You know, listen to me. I'm telling you something. Because when he chooses you, it's like, he makes sure that you get it, even if you're having a bad day, like that legal stuff I'm talking about. I mean, I was really worried about that. I was like going, God, I didn't know. I was annoying around. I mean, you know, all kinds of searching here, searching there for information, and nobody would ever speak directly to that situation. I couldn't get the answer. And all of a sudden, yesterday, boom, man, restored me. I'm still processing through that, because I held it for so long. I had it for so long. I worried about it for so long. You know, like, in the back of my mind, I can get rid of it. And that's amazing. He totally restored me. You know why? Because he's chosen me. You know, I'm just as dud as anybody else. So, you know, it's like, are you so sensitive to God? Because you're, you know, and it's, no, it's because he chose me. That's it. It's not about being sensitive and it's nice and sweet and perfect and all that bunch of hogwash. I mean, all that's wonderful, and I do try to be that for sure, but it's not about that, man. When he chooses you, it's like he'll keep hollering at you till you get it. Hey, you. I say, hey, wake up. I'm talking to you. This ain't for somebody else. I'm telling you, this is for you, boy. You know, some things he would tell me, I mean, like I'm talking to you, in my heart, just plain as day, and I'm thinking, yeah, I know some people like that. He said, no, I'm talking about you. I'm going like, what? My point is that he just kept dreams and visions. I would go to sleep and couldn't wake up from this dream. It was the same thing over and over again about this thing he was trying to tell me. I'd wake up going, oh, God. And then if I hadn't got it yet, I'd go back to sleep and it'd start over again. Why? Because when he's chosen you to know something, and do, you're going to get it just about no matter what. And that's very restive and very, like, thank God. The thing is, we have to find out what we've been chosen to do, you know, and then find it. Once you find out, it's a lot easier. But he gets us there. He got me there no matter what. He got me there in spite of myself. And I take no credit at all for anything. Because it's just, I mean, yeah, I live a good life, righteous life. I've talked about my sins publicly, you know, for many different reasons. But, you know, overall, you know, God's been gracious to me. He's kept me. I'm messing my own stuff up worse than I would have already. He kept me from that. He kept me from it somehow, some way. I don't even understand it. I give him all the credit for it. Why? Because he chose me. You know, he was jealous over me. I didn't even know, why are you so jealous? Why don't you let me, you know, why can't I just, having a bad day, I'm going to go mess up something. I'm going to go mess up something. Nope, not going to let you go mess up something. I'm going to tie you up where you can't go do it. I'm going to tie you up like I did Isaac. Tie you to the altar we can't get out. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever it takes. Boy, I got you, man. You're it. That's it. I've chosen you for that particular thing. You know, it's like he chose you, Jeannie. He chooses people. When he chooses you, really hard to miss it. And that's what you have to rest in. It's really hard to miss it. It just is. Just stand there and holler. You know, a little kid will get your attention. You ever had a little kid get your attention? Mommy. In the back seat, you know, you're trying to drive through traffic, and you're on the phone talking, Daddy. Honey, he's like, you have to shut everything down and say, what? What do you want? That's just the way God is. It's kind of like, it just doesn't let go. It's about Jacob letting go. It's about God doesn't let go. This is going to be my experience. I don't know what I'm talking about and why I'm revealing all this stuff. I don't know. Exposing myself for people, you know, revealing my, you know, my, what really goes on, the graciousness of God. We got to have somebody we can really respect and honor, know that he's really a professional person who can lead us and guide us into where we're going. No, God uses somebody and he chooses to use them, and that's it. Chose to use Moses. He wouldn't let Moses go. Look at all these people. He just wouldn't let them go. I got you. I got you, babe. Boop, 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 boop. I got you, babe. You ain't getting loose. No, you ain't. That's literally the way it is. Anyway, Jeannie, I don't know. Put that in your sandwich and eat it. Like that be part of your thinking. I know it is already, but I mean, let it really, really soak up into that beautiful brain you got in there. Jesus is awesome. Yes, he is. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Chris, hey, I saw Chris today YouTubing. I can't tell y'all what it was because it was without his permission, but he has it. Powerful truck, man, like a Ram truck, and he's out on the racetrack, and he had he's on this racetrack, and he's racing his truck, you know, like the quarter mile. Man, it's awesome. I watched it several times, and like, just getting, I can't believe that's Chris's truck. My gosh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh. I mean, just taking off. It was cool. Really, really cool. Anyway, maybe if I get his permission, I'll share it with y'all. I got to make sure it's okay with him. But anyway, Chris, I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's really awesome, really cool. He's invited me to come. I hope I get to go. I hope I'd love to go. I hope I get to. Anyway, Chris, thank you for that. That beautiful orange truck. And amen. God increase you, multiply you, give you his favor, give you wisdom on how to answer questions, how to be patient. You know, sometimes I'm not very patient. I get impatient with people about certain things. They keep doing the same old stupid thing over and over again. You know, God is patient, but, you know, God does get, eventually God does kind of let go. You know, he asked me that one more time. I'm like, I'm going to spit in the wind. It's going to come back and hit you right in the face or something like that. Yeah. You know, like, I do get impatient with him, but God's going to give you wisdom on how to be patient when you need to be and demand, be demanding when you need to be demanding. Right? Yeah. Sometimes we need to be demanding. The woman who, you know, went to the unjust judge and just kept, you know, I'm not leaving until you bring it over here. I'm not going anywhere until you, and he says, I'm going to have to, you know, give you what you want just so you're driving me crazy. So there is that in Chris where we drive it crazy till we get it. And there's other things, you know, the other way around. Yeah. Okay. Give me a second. Yep, there it is. God's showing you how to do that. Showing you how to be patient when you need to be patient. You know, when you know, people ask questions, they really are sincerely wanting to know, but it's like they're driving you nuts with it. You got to be patient with that because they really are seeking, right? And other times, it's kind of like when it comes to being, you know, need to get something, be demanding, like, you know, being a pain in the neck to somebody, you know, when it's proper. And so God showing you how to do that is something that I really, you know, would like for God to do with me more too. Is like, you know, give me patience when I need it, and so I can, you know, be kind and compassionate at the right times, and then be tough and rough when I need to be. You know, sometimes Jesus had a whip in his hand, driving at money changers, hollering. Next minute, he's got little kids in his hands, just like loving on them, telling them, you know, these little kids are awesome. Pay total attention to them. Yeah, that nature of Jesus in you, Chris. God, let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's keep going here. This is cool. All right, Cheryl, $100. Thank you, Cheryl from Florida. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, God, for that glory, you know, that scripture I got about John 17:5. You know, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm going like, Lord says, share this with Cheryl. I'm going, okay, I'm sharing it with Cheryl. In a minute. Yeah, and here it is right here. John 17:5, it says, Jesus saying, restore to me restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. And I was sharing it earlier tonight. I don't know if you were able to hear it or not, but talking about how that, you know, as our DNA thing starts working, it's like the goal is, of course, is to God says, I came out of my mouth before I found the scripture. It's like when it came out of my mouth, I realized, I think that's a scripture. And so I Googled it, sure enough. Jesus is saying this. It's if I was saying it like for us as Adam's children, you know, restore us back to the glory that we shared with you before sin came, the human nation, human beings. Yeah, restore us back to that glory. So, Lord, I thank you for Cheryl. God, restore her back to the glory that she shared with you when she was, you know, before those times, face-to-face before in the universe. That's what the Passionate Translation says, which I love that, by the way. It's one that came up first, the NPT version. Wow, really awesome. So, Lord, I thank you for that, to restore the glory. Wow, restore the glory. That's really awesome. You know, when I got that tonight, I was like, my God, that is really cool. And maybe you didn't hear it, so maybe that's why I got something. I'm not sure exactly, but there you go. Restore the glory. 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 Like I want to holler that out right now. Restore the glory. Restore the glory that I have with you one time. Wow. Woo! What a prayer that is, man. That hit me tonight like a ton of Holy Ghost bricks. I saw it in the spirit realm. That's where this thing with this, you know, the three foot long incisions, you know, in the DNA thing, all that, yeah, that's what this is about. Restoring us back to the glory. Hallelujah. My God. My Lord and my God. Jesus. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. So Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Wow, I'll take that one. Dear Jesus, man, I feel God is, that's what that dream vision was, is that totally restored. After the incision, there's one 3 foot long one, then a foot long one, about a 2 foot long one, like more than one, but the big one that showed up the most, the focus was when I saw the incisions come together, it was a 3 foot long one that came together. They all came together, but that one was the one I saw the most. And then the glory, and then it's like, you know, I saw the body just light up or something like, yeah. Shining with the glory from within. Jesus said, so my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. Kawala. Shenopapai. All right. Regina, $100. Thank you, Regina. It is Christ is your sufficiency, girl. He is your sufficiency. He is your sufficiency. Let's look at the word sufficiency. I kind of know what it means. Sufficiency. Christ's sufficiency as sufficiency. Sufficiency. All right, here's sufficiency, Regina. The condition or quality of being adequate or sufficient. Whoa. Condition or quality of being adequate or sufficient. And then here's a situation which says the judge, an example, the judge would rule on the sufficiency of the provocation, whatever that is, an adequate amount of something, especially especially of something essential, sufficiencies, a sufficiency of good food. Here's some archaics. Self-sufficiency or independence of character, especially curious sort, the calm sufficiency of the born leader. Self-sufficiency or independent. In other words, he was very independent. You know, and we can be independent in God. You know, when we got Jesus as our Savior, and we don't need anybody, though we will take everybody, but we don't have to have anybody. You know, we got Jesus, me and Jesus. I tell people, I've been preaching this for the last few months about how that, you know, God didn't need anybody but Moses. And then he sent him, and then, you know, then people would follow him, and people would, you know, go with him. But, and then he ended up, of course, you know, taking them all out, but he only needed one person. Of course, Moses complained that I can't talk, so he got his brother involved in it, Aaron. Aaron. Well, there's some names, Aaron. Aaron, your daughters. Dear Jesus. Okay, so what does a sufficiency mean? Let's look at this, Regina. Plural sufficiency. Sufficient means to meet one's needs. Oh, to meet one's needs. Now that's pretty plain to the point right there. To meet one's needs. What is a synonym of sufficiency? Synonym, abundance. Staggering amount, abundance of food. Adequacy. Wow, I hope you're getting this in your heart, because this is amazing. Wow. What is the meaning of, you know, I Googled this, as you know, in case people listen, they don't understand what I'm doing. I Googled this and I'm looking at it. The sufficiency of Scripture also means the Scripture itself is sufficient to interpret. This was a very big deal during the Reformation. The Reformations talked about sola Scriptura, a Latin phrase for meaning Scripture alone. Ooh, sufficiency. I think you're getting this, right? I mean, this is amazing. What is the meaning of all sufficiency? The meaning of all sufficiency is one enough to meet a need or purpose. Adequate. Assuring the truth of a statement, requiring, but not necessarily required by some other state of affairs. Okay. All right. Wow. So, Lord, I just breathe that into her tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for making that known to Regina, God, in the name of Jesus, where she will know, like Paul said, his grace is my sufficiency, his grace. He was totally, dependent on the grace of God, unmerited, undeserved favor, where he knew he couldn't do anything. He could do a lot. He was a very smart man, like you're a very smart person, but he knew he couldn't please God on his own. So God knew that, and God chose him. Like I was telling Jeannie earlier, that when God chooses you, it's like he'll knock you off your horse. He'll do whatever. I mean, when you're chosen, and I feel sorry for people that are chosen, yet I feel excited for them at the same time. Because you're not going to get by. I mean, God goes after you for something. That's it, man. He went after Paul. That was it. He was gone. He was out of it or in there. God, he had to learn how to live off grace to be his sufficiency, because he was such a strong man, like you're a strong woman, a smart person like you, and he had to learn how to deal, you know, to do things in God's strength and not his own, but he was very strong willed. Yeah, so that's why he was so successful and so powerful. That's amazing. Wow, it's amazing. All right, Donald and Tanya, $118. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you for Tanya tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for Tanya, for her, the grieving she's done over things, the grieving, that you're washing out the grief and restoring it with hope, restoring it with pleasure, restoring it with wonder, the wonder of it all. Signs and wonders of the wonders, the wondering part of God, like, wow, look at the wonders of God, observing the wonders of God, and it washes away all that, you know, stuff we go through, you know, insecurities that we all have, you know, all the things. And when we're weak and we acknowledge it, we know it, we bring it to him. He says, yeah, I love that about you, that you bring your weaknesses to me instead of to the world, to the other people. You bring them to me, saith the Lord. And I love that about you. Therefore, you are strong. Yeah, and for Donald, God, we thank you, Lord, for Donald. Thank you, Jesus, for that whole thing about servant, how to serve, you know, to those who serve the best, God gives them the most. Because he knows when they serve it, they're going to serve it the best. So I thank you, Lord, for him serving the best, the revelation of knowledge in him, God, to how to deliver things, how to do the job, how to do it, you know, perfectly, if you will, in the eyes of God, in Jesus' name. So he is a perfect servant, becomes the servant who with the highest quality of servanthood. Because when you have that, then God gives you the highest quality of merchandise or things or whatever information to, you know, serve with. Jesus served, you know, he didn't just have the, you know, unwrap himself at the foot washing, and, you know, he was unwrapping his glory everywhere he went. He was serving and washing feet everywhere he went. That was just one of the physical, literal examples of it, where he literally did it. But and what did he do when he served? He was such a good servant that miracles happened everywhere he went. Yeah, why? Because he was such a great man of God. Oh, yeah, that, of course that. But the main thing was he was a servant, a good. He knew how to serve well. He was at a wedding feast. His mama, you know, provoked him. And to serve, she said, honey, don't you serve the people? You just serve. You know, what getting the wine was serving. He said, oh, Mom, I'm not ready for that. Yeah, whatever he says, do it. She just kind of like kicked it in. And he served, and he served well. First miracle. Right. He's serving wine. Amazing. Serving, yeah. Wow, beautiful. All right. Indrica, $120. Thank you for that. ESW Auto Sales, LLC, $50. Thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the servanthood of Auto Sales in Jesus' name, and that they become a servant, they become a thing of service and servanthood, and that the highest quality. Several words tonight. There's a lot of information going out for that right now. The highest quality servant were become the most wealthiest people because, like I talk about Jeff Bezos with Amazon, you know, he learned how to serve well. And, you know, yeah, so, and then he became wealthy because of it. Because he made it where everybody can't hardly live without his service. He makes it so easy. Amazing. Thank you, Lord, for ESW Auto Sales becoming that. And thank you, Lord, for Chris and Enrique. Hang on a second. I missed out on Christian Andrika. Oh, no, it's Tyreek and Torrey. I missed, somehow I over, I don't know why I didn't put that in it. Tyreek. What do we think for Tyreek? $10 in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. It's ESW Autofield, Andrika just jumped right in there. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And then I realized something's wrong. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek and Torrey, God, that you use even ESW sales, ESW Auto Sales to use as a servant in a sense to secure them a future, Father, and blessing and being, you know, connected and being blessed, learning how to deal with wealth and blessing, learning how to deal with freedom and liberty and grace and sufficiency, the sufficiency of God that ESW Auto Sales will bring the sufficiency of God to them and provide for them, like God's provision, like God's ram in a thicket. I think I mentioned that before. I don't remember, but that came back to me really strong again. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. And not just the money itself, but the obedience to God in the business itself. Something about that. Anyway, and just talking about business, God's business. Jesus said about my Father's business. That ESW auto sales about the Father's business is going to bring some kind of something for Tyreek and Torrey, something like that. All right. All right, Chris and Enrique, $15. $15 for Chris. God, we thank you, Jesus, for that, the amazing grace, God. In Jesus' name, for Chris, God, the amazing grace, that God, you open up that realm of the amazing grace and begin to reveal your amazing grace to Chris, God. Your amazing grace, not just grace, but amazing grace. In the book of Acts, I think chapter 5 or something, they talk about the abundance of grace. Grace, you know, abundant grace. Like, you know, beyond the norm of unmerited, undeserved favor, God. So Chris will know that you already paid the price for everything. All he did is learn to just obey your voice, hearken to the voice diligently to the voice of the Lord by God. And all these blessings will come upon you. And to his word, hearken to his word diligently. Lord, show Chris how to do that in new ways. To develop him into the greatness of God, in Jesus' name, the sufficiency of the Lord. Amen. Andrika, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, for the power of God, for the authority of Christ Jesus. For the Bible says, I heard somebody say this the other day, that's where I got it. John Paul Jackson actually said, he said, he has given you all authority over every power. So authority rules over power, right? So God's going to show you about authority, walking in authority. And authority through relationship, authority through, you know, that God trusting us because we obey him. Do what he says. So he trusts you, watches over you, keeps you, protects you, provides for you. Amen. Opens up for you, delivers for you. In Jesus' name, amen. $20 offering for thanksgiving of God for his faithfulness. God is faithful. We will work less and earn a whole lot more. That's a high five. I don't know why that just gets me every time I go back on. This girl has had to zone in on something. I'm telling you. Y'all pay attention to this. Because God, she had ear to hear. I think everybody heard us talking about this. Not that they're not doing it, but it's like she's focused on it. She got an ear to hear it, and now it's like in every prayer, every offering. Smart, very smart. I know everybody has a little bit different thing they do, but that was key. Amen. We just lifted it to you, Jesus. We offer it up in thanksgiving to you, God. Like the priest would take the offerings and take them to the altar of incense and just smell, the aroma was amazing. It just wanted to make you want to go in there and take of everything. The smell was so amazing. Wow. The aroma, God, for your blessings in Jesus' name. All right, Deborah and Mark, $148. Thank you, Deborah and Mark. Thank you, Jesus, for the steadiness. Thank you for the steady hand. For the steady hand, God, for that, for steadying them, like stabilizing them. You know, if we learn how to let God stable his own things, like when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back and the guy tried to stabilize it himself. You know, the Ark was gonna fall over, like God needed him to, you know, keep it up there. You know, every time they took the Ark to war, they won wars with it. It destroyed the temple of Baal or whatever it was. All the idols fell over and broke off their heads and arms, and it was funny. And they need somebody to help stabilize it? No way. So thank you, Lord, that you've shown them how to let the ark of God, let the presence of God, let the glory of God, let the blessings of God stabilize himself, that God's going to stabilize it. God's going to do it. In Jesus' name, he's going to stabilize and make strong, make witnesses out of them. Deborah and Mark, witnesses of God. In Jesus' name, witnesses of the, and stargazing. I see the stargazing thing. I know that, you know, in a holy kind of way, like that. The stargazers who followed the star to where Jesus was, you know, yeah. Something about that. I don't know what that means exactly, but stargazing, you know, by the spirit, like the wise men did. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be done, Jesus. Let it be done right now by the spirit of grace. Your name is written upon them. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Blessed and holy be the name of the Lord. Be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Deborah and Mark. Amen. Wow. Not coming short of the glory. That's what it is. Sin is coming short of the glory and not coming short of the glory. And the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Yeah. Everything's set free. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $270. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. Bless you guys in Jesus' name. May God prosper you. May God bless you. May He hold your head up. May you ever be blessed. And you're going in, you're going out. You know, whatever you touch, in Jesus' name, may God bless you and keep you, watch over you. May His face shine upon you. And may He enrich you in every way with wisdom and knowledge, the grace of God. Hallelujah, and unite you together in holy, you know, like holy, holy, holy matrimony. I know you're married, but like I don't know. May God unite you in holy matrimony. I'm just saying what I get. So holy matrimony. May your matrimony be holy. Amen. Holy matrimony. May your matrimony. What does matrimony mean exactly? Let's look that up. I don't think I know what it means, but let's look at it for a second. Give me a minute here. Matrimony. Okay. Matrimony, the state of ceremony of being married. Marriage, the sacrament of holy matrimony. Man, I mean, I know you guys, of course, you know you're married, but there's something about that. There's something going on with the sacrament. If you look up the word matrimony, it has the state of ceremony or being married, marriage. The sacrament of holy matrimony. Sounds Catholic, doesn't it? Sounds cool, though. That I find the Catholic stuff pretty holy. But some of it ain't. The state of being married, marriage. The state of being married. Matrimony. What does matrimony mean? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, marriage is defined as the relationship that exists between a husband and a wife. The word matrimony is defined as the joining together of a man and a woman as husband and wife. Wow, that's more explanatory. There you go. I don't get one of these. Yeah, it is the word matrimony is defined as the joining together of a man and a woman as husband and wife. God, we thank you, Lord, for whatever you're doing with this, like setting it apart for you. Yeah, for blessing it, setting it apart. What is the use of matrimony? Fancy way of saying marriage. Okay, so it's just a fancy way of saying marriage when a couple ties the knot. They're engaging in matrimony. You can describe the actual wedding celebration as matrimony. And also the state of being married, although it is a formal word. Although it's a formal word most often used in documents and the word of the ceremony. Sacrament. Okay, I'm just reading to see. Okay, when the Catholic Church teaches a marriage between two baptized persons, sacrament. It is saying that the couple's relationship expresses in a unique way the unbreakable bond of love between Christ and his people. Whoa! A unique way unbreakable bond of love between Christ and his people. Wow. Okay, so that goes into marriage, y'all's marriage representing Christ and his people. But that gets to a little bit different level right there, in my opinion. Christ and his people. Your marriage representing Christ and his people. Okay, I think we're getting some of this. Thank God for Google. I love you, Google. I don't care what they say about you. All right. Man, awesome. All right, Shannon, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. And thank you, Jesus, for prayer that God ships that in. I got it right here. All right. A word for about my wife and protection for her, please. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for that wife, God. We thank you, Lord, that we know you have someone for Shannon, God. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name, that you have that one person, that one. Many can fit, but you have the one. And I thank you, Jesus, for the one in Jesus' name that will fit and be holy. Well, isn't it amazing that I just prayed for Terrence and Tanisha about holy matrimony, that I'm talking about you? That was not planned, as you know. Yeah, so thank you, Lord. We just declare and decree that over you tonight for holy matrimony. What is a matrimonial woman of or relating to marriage, the marriage state, or married persons? Matrimony in the Bible, divinely blessed, lifelong, monogamous union between a man and a woman. Lord, I just, you know, I think I'm supposed to speak this over you right now. Again, you know, wow, thank you, Lord. The state of being married, marriage. Thank you, Lord, for that. We declare and decree over Shannon, God, the same thing, the matrimony, holy matrimony. A relationship that exists between a husband and a wife, between Shannon and his wife. The word matrimony is defined as the joining together of a man and a woman as husband and wife. And I want to say the name of the woman is a name similar to yours, like Shannon, except it's, you know, like Brandon, Nan, you know, I don't know, something that sounds like your name. Yeah, I don't know what that is. So Lord, I just declare and decree over Shannon tonight, God, this holy matrimony, this holy marriage, this let it be done in his life, God, and Jesus, let it be holy, let it be blessed. In Jesus' name, and give him that lifelong, divine, blessed, lifelong, monogamous union between Shannon and his woman that has a name kind of like his, or kind of rhymes, that sounds like it. Wow. Amen. All right. In Jesus' name, bless that, God. Open that up right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Barbara, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up Barbara, God, to that a new place of divine security, knowing that what's secure, helping people understand what Christ did. Once we receive it, once we give our life to him, that we are secure in him. He is our security. Everything, every security that we have, he is our protection. He's our blessing. He's our future. He's you know, forgives our past. He's everything. He's our security. He's our safety. He's the Ark of the Covenant. He's the Ark. The boat, the ark, you know, that Noah built is like protection. God, in Jesus, so people will rely on him to make them safe in whatever they have fear. They have fear of animals, fear of dogs, fear of people, fear of, you know, demons, fear of God, fear of whatever the fear is, that they will find safety and protection in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that holy matrimony thing, God, you want in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Amen. With Marja, same thing, holy matrimony thing, just kind of like floating down, right, hovering over Marja. $50. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And they thank you, Lord, for that. Giving her the view of a good godly marriage, God. Amen. Give her the view, give her an image of a good godly marriage. Loving and living and enjoying one another and enjoying God. Basically, that's in a nutshell. Right? Loving, living, and enjoying God together. Loving, living, and enjoying God together. I declare that over Marja. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Loving, living, amen, and enjoying one another and loving God together. In Jesus' name, may that be the blessing upon her life, God, right now. In Jesus' name, open that up, Father, right now with the power of God. And deliver, turn over to Satan, in Jesus' name. Anything that tries to hinder it, stop it, mess with it, in Jesus' name, we turn over to devil, we torment you. You cannot torment. You cannot. We turn you over to torment in the name of Jesus. Marja will be blessed and free and happy, God. Just happy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It's a great night. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for your glory tonight. Well, I think for that holy matrimony word tonight. Wow. That was strong. I started, and even though Terrence and Tanisha are already married, that's why I understand what's going on with that. But that's like God's blessing that, showing the example between Christ and his people in a marriage. Yeah. Maybe a revelation on that some. I'm not sure exactly. But, really powerful. Okay, y'all, I think that's it for tonight. Midnight. And then, of course, I can see that's it. Give me a minute. I'm going to check on some things. I'll be right back. Pretty well got it there. Jeff and Uke, 111-11. Looks like when they call in on the phone number, 111-111. calling on God. Lord, I just think for that same miracle, that holy matrimony, that word you gave us, that Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that right now. Let me go here. I want to pray over their marriage too, God. Like God is trying to put an extra blessing on everybody's marriage tonight, or if you're not married, to get married, commit a holy matrimony. Thank you, Jesus, that that you blessed Jeff and you, God, with this extra anointing, God, to keep them in your ways, to watch them, watch over them, to provide for them, God, like you do Christ in the church. The same way that you bless them and supply for them and provide for them, that you use them to provide seed for the sower. Seed for the sower. In other words, be able to help people make money so they can give money. Give seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. You give them seed, you give them a job, give them some kind of way to have money where they can, you know, make money and give money. Thank you, Lord, that you use them, God, the covenant is to bless, to be a blessing. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for blessing Jeff and you to be a blessing in their marriage, God, in the ceremonial part of it and everything in Jesus' name. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And yes, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Let that be done, God. Open up in Jesus' name. God, whatever whatever the devil tries to come in and touch people and mess with people and cause confusion or cause, you know, trouble, expose every sin, expose every lie, expose everything, Father, in Jesus' name, that would keep holy matrimony from being holy like God wanted it to be. We don't have to do it like our parents did it. They might have had great marriages, might have wonderful marriages, but they didn't have a perfect marriage. God wants us, he wants to have a holy marriage, holy matrimony. God wants to, this word I'm getting tonight is about holy matrimony. God, and I declare that over them, God, they will hold hands, they will love each other, they will kiss and have affection and know their calling together. A marriage between two persons who are dedicated to God, as Jeff and Uke, in Jesus' name, the holy matrimony. God, I just declare and decree over their lives, God, holy matrimony in Jesus' name. And oh, Nicole just gave $3.33. Lord, I thank you for Nicole, God, the same thing. Holy matrimony, God. I declare and decree over her life, holy matrimony in Jesus' name. Let it be done, God. There's an anointing tonight for this. And I've spoken it over several people tonight, which is, you know, kind of unusual. But, Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. Complete, total, holy matrimony, God, in Jesus' name. Set apart by God. Done by God. Brought together by God. Separated unto God for each other, in Jesus' name. Holy, holy, holy matrimony. Spirit, soul, and body joining together by God. Let it be done, God, in Jesus' name, for Nicole. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, let it be done. Wow, I don't know if that's something going on with that tonight exactly, but it was with me. I mean, I just saw that in the spirit, and really, really cool. A little surprising, actually. A little surprising. See, this thing about the DNA thing, you know, God wants to raise up a generation of people, wants to raise up some people that have the revelation of this DNA miracle, the cutting of the Lord, so that the Lord can go in and go beyond the flesh and go into the innermost being of every human being and do a cleansing, washing work of the DNA. And when God cleanses the DNA, friend, we said this earlier, the devils have to leave. They can't, they have nothing to hang on to. What they hang on to is the sin in the DNA. That's what they hang on to. That's their connection. That's their ability to come into the next generation and mess with them. And when the DNA is washed away, it's though the devil has nothing to hang on to. He has nothing to grab hold of. He has nothing. Jesus said, you know why Jesus said the devil had nothing in me? Because he meant that. He had no DNA, passed down generational sin, none. He had no sin, and he had no sin genes where the devil could creep in. That's how the devil creeps in, is through our DNA. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for making that whole and making that hole in the minds of people. God, I mean, yes, there's casting out devil. Jesus cast out devils and all that, but his main thing was he gave his blood. And she's the same. So with Jeff and Uke and with Nikki and Nicole, I mean, and all those, God, in Jesus' name, that are declaring decreeing that their DNA together, it's whoever they marry, whatever the matrimony that they have with you, Jesus, is holy blood. That holy blood, when we take communion, the blood of communion, when we get married, like people, you know, have, like when I got married, I took a communion. Holy blood together, that holy blood bring forth a whole nother bloodline of holy matrimony, people that are married to God, married to husband and wife, and then married to God. Together, they're married to God. Individually, they're married to God, and together, they're married to God. That's holy matrimony. Wow, that is like really, really exciting. Wedlock, union. The name of Jesus. Wow. That is pretty holy stuff. Yes, it is. My God. All right. Okay, so I think that's about it. Good job, Lord. Thank you for that help. That's God helping us. You know, God with us. And Emmanuel means God with us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thanks for being with all of our people, God, all of our friends, all the lovers of your soul that you love, Jesus, that you've given your life for, justified and set apart by your holiness, by your holy love, for the beauty of your glory, in Jesus' name, with being your exact image, because our DNA has been changed into his glorious image, to his glorious, the glorious code of God, the code work, the words, the image, the numbers, all of it, every jot and tittle, everything, perfectly as God designed us, in Jesus' name. Let it be created and done, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's like the incision has to be made. Like they pierced his side, they pierced his hands and his feet. And, of course, his back was smitten and his crown on his head. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane. Holy, holy, holy matrimony is when God marries us. I'm just kind of getting this for tonight. I mean, I'm literally getting this right now. Holy matrimony is God, us being married to him and being married to each other. Amen. In Jesus' name. Wow. To captivate us, oh God. Hallelujah. Wow.
All right.
Cool, man. I think we're just moving up. I mean, wow, tonight. I just got split wide open. It just seemed like. And, man, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Ooh. Amen. Let us be so united together, God, that no one can ever divide us. We're all together at one. Amen. All right, I think that's it. Awesome night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. We just love you, Jesus. We love you. We know we're called according to your purpose. We will obey you wherever you lead us. We will be guided by you. We'll all end up in the same places, in the same, you know, spiritual, or whatever that means, I don't know, the same places with you, God, in Jesus' name, to fellowship with you. Amen, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you so much. It's 12:17, so that's later than we've gone in a while on a Thursday night. Really cool. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much. I think that's it. Good night.